We appreciate so very much the presence of all of you because of the inclement weather and the things that are hindering our being together. But as we can say, the drought is now officially over and the lakes are sort of getting full and our cups run over. So we're blessed because of that. Usually the secular world invents some holy days or holidays that we don't observe. For example, they make special days of Christmas and Easter. And though there are sentiments behind that that we understand, we don't have an official church holy day because of that. The same thing applies, though, with today as it is called Mother's Day. But there's a happy coincidence when we can join with our neighbors in observing that from the standpoint of the biblical side of it, because the Bible certainly tells us that we are to honor our parents and to love our mothers. And so this morning I want to dedicate that to the idea of the Mother's Day. Not that the Bible marks a day, and as has been said, we need to observe our mothers every day and appreciate them every day that we possibly can. Through the years, I've tried to give credit to my mother for a major influence on my life. She was cursed often because of her faith in the Lord. She was cursed often because of attending and worshiping with the saints, but she had a steady influence on my life and showed me the way to Jesus Christ. I told her that many times when she was alive, and she would be 108 this month if she had her birthday, but she's been away now for some years. But in the keeping of the Bible, we will look at this morning on mothers pleasing to God and reflecting the importance of mothers. When you realize indeed that this is a part of God's plan, then it's not out of order at all for us to remember today, as we should every day, the importance of our godly mothers. And of course, some of us were not pleased or not blessed with a godly mother or even a godly father. But nevertheless, we appreciate the role of mothers and what they do in our lives. And the Bible says that we're to honor them. And the word honor does not mean only while they're alive, but we obey them when we are young and then take care of them and provide for them when they're old. We come into this world helpless and we leave helpless. And it's a mark, I think, of what we are inside when we decide that we're going to take care of someone who's not able to take care of themselves. So we're grateful to have this opportunity of honoring our mothers, and really, indeed, we honor them every single day of our lives as we respect them and give them the honor and respect that is due to them. And so we begin by the idea of celebrating life. You go back to Genesis chapter 2 in the very beginning, and Eve was called the mother of all living. We see the idea of the mother first in the Bible, and the fact that she was our common ancestress. All of us trace our roots back to Eve. Some of you may have some things to talk to her about when you get to heaven because of the pain and suffering you had as a mother because of what was brought upon her and her sin in the Garden of Eden. But all of us would certainly respect our mother Eve and recognize that she was the beginning of all of us. And man himself was made in the image of God. So it's not simply the idea of an exterior fleshly connections, but mother carries with it the idea of many more things involved in that as we consider her role in society and recognize that life is a gift from God, but it's also a gift from our parents as well. And as you think about this, celebrating life, we recognize that this is the process of procreation, that man was to be fruitful, to multiply and cover the face of the earth, and to recognize that we are from God and made in the image of God. And when you look in the New Testament, you see, again, a respect for this role of mothers. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, you shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." And so there were problems with Satan in the beginning with our foremother, if we'd like to call her that. And she was deceived. And Paul talks about that in the book of Timothy, how she was deceived. received. She thus has been called the weaker vessel and man the stronger vessel. But nevertheless, there is a particular role, I've said a number of times, I know here and other places, that the relationship between a man and a woman is not that she is less in value, she has a different place of service. And that a woman is of equal value to God as a man, but she should not try to play the role of a man. She's complete in her role as a woman and has a certain role to play before God. And so she would be that, especially in a mother. And so we celebrate life through our mothers and recognize the great debt that we owe them in that. It's been said that every time a woman gives birth, she goes into the valley of death because she can die, and many women have died in childbirth. And so they've approached death for us. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come to accept to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they have it more abundantly." And so he's talking about life itself in a spiritual sense. We receive physical life from our parents and from our mother. And so Jesus then, speaking about life, points out that we owe a debt of gratitude to our mothers, as 1 Timothy 2:15 does, but also that we owe a debt to Jesus Christ for spiritual life itself. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and we must never forget that. As we took the Lord's Supper this morning, I know that our minds went back to the cross, went back to the suffering that Jesus suffered in order to die that we might have eternal life. Well, in the same sense, we need to recognize that our mothers went into the valley of death as she had childbirth, and that's something that we always should have a debt of gratitude for and appreciation for. And have to remember, as those of us who've lost our mothers, have to remember, of course, that this has been appointed to man. In the Garden of Eden, God said that from dust you are, from dust you shall return. Because of sin, man has to die. And thus has been appointed, Hebrews 9:27 says, for all to die. We have to face that. And I remember so well the death of my mother and the sorrow that brought. And yet the mixed emotion of joy that she was a faithful child of God. And though she passed from this life, I believe that she entered into eternal life as well. And so God told Adam that you're dust, and to dust you shall return, and we always face that. And godly mothers, if we're privileged to have a godly mother, raised us up with that end in sight. Turn back to the book of Psalms in chapter 90. We have some things that would remind us of that. And of course, in the book of Ecclesiastes, other things, and I'm reminded about the idea of death, that the writer in the Ecclesiastes said that there's more to be gained in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. And the understanding, of course, is when you lose someone like that, it makes you reflective, makes you think about the purpose of life and the meaning of life. And it connects to our own mortality. So as we face the reality of death, we have to recognize that that's a common thing with us as well, and we have to be aware of that and learn from those kinds of things. In Psalms 90, beginning of verse 10, the Bible says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. Is soon cut off and we fly away." We've all experienced that, and we recognize that it's going to be true even in our own life. So in the process of life, when you experience death, there's a certain lesson to be gained. And the wise man said, therefore it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Because we think about those things that are important to us and our own mortality and how that is going to be true even in us at a later time. And the idea of a good woman that would enforce holiness. I want to make a comment. It's coming to my mind, and I want to make it now. You can mark the decline of America, the fact that women are required by necessities to go to the world. And when women abandon the home under those extreme circumstances of need, the home fell apart. Amen. Without a woman's hand in the home is not what it ought to be. Amen. We hear so much today about women's lib and how they have found ways to have babies without men. They have things that they do in order not to be married. Marriage has come under a deal of disgrace. And many are saying we don't need to be married anymore. So there are more people just living together outside of marriage than there are in America living together in marriage in our day. You can trace the problems in the home to the absence of the mother. I've never condemned women who had to work. I felt like sometimes it was absolute. I recognize the importance of a mother in the home. There was a phrase that became back in the 60s and 70s about latchkey kids. That mothers and fathers were working, and when the children came home from school, they had to have a key in their possession because the house was empty. So they come into an empty house, and they began to watch television for babysitting and all kinds of things. And the absence of a mother was not, the presence of a mother was not there. And you can trace the decay. Family. Problem. By a girl that was raised by lesbian parents. And she commented on the fact that children things were, I think this should be on.
Check your drivers. I'm getting on
the. All right. She recognized in her own children's life how important the man was. And the complete family, as God arranged it, with the man and the woman, together in the family, is such a vital thing to the human race and to the society in which we live. So as the women were pulled out of the home in order to work, and the children were raised in daycares or however it might have been, you had children being raised without moral instruction, without social instruction, and the teachers have been criticized because they have not taught them the social graces. Well, it's really not the place of teachers to do that. That's the place of the home. And so I'm on a soapbox now when I recognize how much we have missed out on life and how our families are destitute many times because of the absence of a mother in the home. How important that is. And I don't think society recognizes that. But you know, when you look at the ideal of a scripture and a scriptural home, you have the mother and the father and the children. Honoring your father and mother, children respecting your father and mother, and all of these things taking place, you see the ideal and what it ought to be. Then you take out of that some of the elements of that successful family, and the end result is always less than what it ought to be. So we're seeing in America today, and I'm sure around the world where it takes place, the idea of rudderless children, and that's just a phrase that I've made up. They are without direction. They have no instruction. They don't know what to do. And so today you see a lot of people out on the streets. The kids are not working. They're not in school. They're just loose. And the old adage that idle hands make the devil's workshop certainly applies here, where so many young people are in trouble because of that. But the Bible does hold out examples of godly women. Sarah is mentioned in the Bible, and she was not a perfect person at all, but nevertheless she was a very faithful wife, a believer in God, and the mother of Isaac, and you have her listed in the Bible as one of those godly mothers. Another one that we just mentioned in our Wednesday night class about Hannah. Hannah was distressed because she did not have a child, and when she prayed to God about that, she said, "If you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him to the the Lord. And thus Samuel was born as an answer to her prayer. And Hannah would be an example of a godly mother who teaches her children the right way of the Lord, that they become faithful in the service of the Lord. Of course, Elizabeth, who was a relative of Mary, and how she gave birth to John the Baptist, who made such an influence in the world. And then, of course, Mary. We extol Mary, we praise Mary, because the Lord chose her as his own mother. Only time that was ever done, where one would choose his mother. Mary was not the mother of God. She's not to be prayed to. She's not to be worshipped. But you think of the blessing of all the women of the world, of all the ages, that God chose her to be the mother of the fleshly body of Jesus. And how she conducted herself all through her life with that understanding. She didn't understand everything, but she believed in God. And those are things that come to mind where the mother can reinforce holiness. And I can well remember, I took it for granted because my mother was always home when I came in from school. I'd get off the bus and come in. She'd be either the sewing machine or in the kitchen cooking. And I took it for granted, but I look back on that now in the absence of that in other people's homes, and I recognize what a blessing was to come in and feel secure. And understand that she loved me and that she was working for my benefit. And I took that for granted because I wasn't old enough to understand how I could be different. Now then, we ought to appreciate and appreciate so very much how that is true, that their presence were so much a blessing. And here's where I was going to say that good mothers are desperately needed, and I got caught up in that thought earlier. It's still true. If mothers could come back into the home today and be what they ought to be, our country would have a rebirth. I really believe that. I think that there would be a whole different attitude among our children. And I know that a lot of people laughed at that mother. And I'm not sure that she had the right attitude. But when this boy was in the street throwing rocks at police and she saw him on television, that black mother came out and grabbed him by the cuff of the neck and smacked him around. Now, she's been criticized for abuse of a child, and I don't believe that at all. And maybe her motive was not the best, because she said, I just didn't want him to get killed like the others are getting killed. But she came out and made a difference. And I tell you, when my mother doubled up her tongue and came at me with a fly swat or a belt or whatever it might have been, it made a difference in my life too. Yes, I've been whipped. And at the time, I didn't like it a bit. But nevertheless, I know what it was done for. I know why it was done. I know my mother loved me, and she didn't like to see those things in me that maybe other kids were influencing me to do. And so, yes, good mothers are desperately needed in our time today. And I want to go to Proverbs 31. I use this many times in sermons, but not with everybody. It doesn't fit everybody. There's some marvelous comments here. I want to start with verse 10 about the virtue of woman. But this is the kind of woman you should be so that it would fit you at your funeral. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships who brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes them garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband and often and her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Amen.
That's why I say proper for us today to consider on this Mother's Day, mothers. Because it develops an attitude in a heart that's not just a one time a year. It's all year long.
Amen.
My mother knew that I loved her, and I told her that. My mother knew that I respected her. And I tried to encourage her in her fight against my father with regard to religion. But she's gone on to her reward. And there's such a peace in that, that I can't even begin to tell you what it means to understand my mother was a child of God.
Amen.
Now, we're not all that blessed. But here's what we ought to shoot for. Here's what we ought to think about. Here's what we ought to teach our children and teach our grandchildren. To understand and to recognize that a mother is a blessing in life.
Amen.
And when mothers are outside of the home and they cannot partake what they should, we're going to suffer because of that. So to be able to appreciate on this day when the secular world is respecting our mothers, it's good to build up our own thoughts and to recognize what a debt of gratitude we owe to all those who gave us birth. We'll have Father's Day another day, and a dad is just as important as a mother, but each in their own way. And as the wise man said, her works will praise her in the gate and give of her the fruit of her labors. So this morning, I thought it'd be fitting to be able to look at this together and to recognize exactly what the Bible teaches about that. We could go into much more detail as we look at godly women in the Bible and to recognize that many of the women that the Bible talks about were not good in the beginning, such as Mary Magdalene. But through the influence of Christ, they became good women. And so does every woman become a good influence when they come together with Christ. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Though He's a man, the example of perfection is such that when women honor Him and serve Him, you become what a mother ought to be. And there are those who have never given birth to children. They still have a responsibility in the home with regard to the husband that the Bible also talks about. So today we honor our mothers, though they may not be with us. We honor the role of women and what they play in society. And our world is better because they're godly women. I really believe that in many circles, if women were present and held their place as a woman to be respected, men would be a lot better.
Amen.
Some men are brutes. Some men are carnal. Even my father, as carnal as he was, around a woman would not curse. But we think around Christ, we won't do that. But at least he would give at least a woman that kind of respect. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Whether you're a woman or a man, what follows is that we need to observe Jesus Christ in our lives and be the best we can be. The highest that we can ever attain in this life is not to be a millionaire or some kind of a business magnet that serves society, but to be a Christian. We hope and pray that that will be your role as you think in terms of obeying the gospel of Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, to begin your journey of serving the Lord. We invite you to come as we stand together and as we sing.